Page Nun Tes, Perek Yotziv Vav. The Perek is the Perek in the Inyan of Sisrei Torah. What requirements are necessary in order for a person to be Isaac in Sisrei Torah? It's very, very hard. These next few Seif from the Lashon is very hard. So I'm going to try to understand. Gam yishe ena mukshel etzaya besichle is dakus ha'inyonim ha'nezgavim. Even a person who is not capable of comprehending in a clear way some of these exalted inyonim that he's learning because of the dakus of these inyonim, very sublime, very, very difficult to understand. So this person might not be mukhshar, he doesn't have the kalim to fully comprehend, to fully grasp some of the things that he's learning in Pnimius HaTorah, Hamutzoyim B'Sisrei Torah, that are presented in Sisrei Torah. In this area of Torah, uvechol ha'atzos shel chochmas ha'razim, and when this individual was learning chochmas ha'razim, this chochma of the secrets of Torah, he's not able to fully comprehend, to fully grasp. Of course, that's something that we all feel. And anybody that's tried that, and for that reason, many people just stay completely away. Rav Kook says, "Mikol makom haregesh haklali." Nevertheless, when the person learns Sisrei Torah, even though there are things that he's missing, he doesn't grasp, and obviously there could be some problem that could lead to a problem, misunderstanding. But the regish hakloli, the overall hergish that the person has as a result of this limud, of this learning, veis adnus hanafshis, and the great pleasure that it brings to his soul, and the refinement that it brings to his soul, yuchala hargish mitzad etzim tiv yusa shel hanasham hamaskelis vachusha emuni hativu benefesh. He's able to feel because of the nefesh hamaskelis, the etzim tiv yusa shel hanasham hamaskelis, he has within him a neshama maskelis. The neshama maskelis means the neshama understands. Like the Gemara says with many things, that iyuloi chazi, even though there are things that we don't see, but the mazel, meaning the deeper part of ourselves, sees and understands. So even though this person intellectually is not getting everything, but when he learns Pnimius HaTorah, it creates a tremendous feeling of his adnus hanafshis, this great Eden of the nefesh. That's a good thing, and he should continue, because that's coming from the etzem tiviyusa shel haneshama maskelis. It's coming from the actual teva of the neshama that is maskelis, that understands. And even though he's missing bits and pieces, and as far as giving a shiur, as far as having an entirely clear picture of what he's learning, it's not there. It's not happening. But the hergish that he has of his alas and of his chazkas, that comes from the neshama that understands. V'achush emuni atavu benefesh. There's a chush emuni. There's a sense of faith that's ingrained, that's natural to the soul, that has a tremendous pleasure from these limudim, that has tremendous, tremendous pleasure and excitement and joy from learning Pnimis Yatara. There's a chush amuni. There's a Jew has within him a natural feeling for these things because of the Nesham HaMaskelos. And because he has that natural feeling within himself for these things, he finds that he has an aliyah, even though intellectually some of it is above his head. Vashimush asichli yuchalias etzla rak lezakech esamusagim. As far as his seichel is concerned, the seichel must be used in order to refine the concepts that at least shalo yifalu etzla pulos matais. That what he's learning should not cause there to be mistakes. God forbid in what he's doing. We're not talking about a situation like that, where the person is trying to learn something that's so completely beyond him that the outcome of that can be to do things that are incorrect in his Yiddishkeit and to make terrible mistakes, chas v'shalom, in how he conducts himself. The seichel has to be, and there has to be enough of the zikuch of the musagim, enough clarification of the concepts that he's learning, that they have to be clear enough in his mind so that he won't, chas v'shalom, be misled to pu'ulais matais, to actions that are mistaken, that are wrong. Hasoisveis es hadeya hatzlula, that contradict clear common sense, clear seichel. That goes back to what we were learning before, about a person who might be missing some das and the ability to discern, especially in learning these matters. One has to use a tremendous koch to push himself to use this koch haseichel. And if he sees something that he doesn't understand, either he just goes vaiti, keeps on going, or he asks somebody, but not to chalila use something that's unclear to come to certain conclusions and to act upon certain mistaken or unclear conclusions that he's reaching. That's very dangerous. Hasoisus is hadeya tzlula, that contradict clear intelligence. Vesamuna tahir b'schus hakaresa, and contradict the pure faith that we have and what the pure faith of a Jew recognizes as true. That chas v'shalom, a person shouldn't be led into things that are not in sync with intelligence, with seichel, and with emunah tahir, with the pure faith that we receive in our Messiah from generation to generation. This is not uncommon, especially among people. So when you have people who are not learning for a long time, or are not part of, we're not connected to the Messiah, let's say what they call nowadays Balei Tshuva, that I've seen many times, that very, very sincere, very sincere Balei Tshuva, who were not raised in yeshiva and learning, and did not receive from the parents a clear Messiah of what's right and what's wrong, that because of some independent research in an area of Torah, and remember that most of the times that's going to be using English translations and so on, that the person will come to mistakes and will act upon the mistakes out of a sincere desire to do the right thing, but it's not rooted in the Messiah. They don't have a Messiah. They grew up in a home that's not that wasn't Shomer Mitzvos, and they didn't breathe the atmosphere of the Messiah. Since they didn't breathe that air of the Messiah, oftentimes they become excited about something that they'll see in a Sefer that was taken out of context, and they'll try to incorporate that into their lives, and it's off. It contradicts both Deyat Tzlula, Das, and the Emunah Tahira, the pure faith that we've received from generation to generation. At the end of the day, that always has to be the guiding light in a person's life. Both Deyat Tzlula, Seichel, intelligence, and a clear understanding, and the Emunah Tahira that we've received, that faith that we have received and we try to give over to our children, which is shown to the future generations. And if something is unclear when a person is learning, then one has to be careful not to jump to conclusions, even at conclusions that do not have consequences in his actions. But even something that, in a way of thinking, in a way of understanding, of course, it's hard to gauge these things, especially with someone who was not learning. It's very, very hard to gauge these things. That's why Rav Kook, in many places, he writes over and over how during the younger years of a person's life, and he was not talking about these Bali Tshuva that we have now, but in the early part of a person's life, the main thing is to really absorb as much of the Messiah as possible. And that means with the regular standard learning, Halacha and Shas and Poskim and Chumash and Rashi and Navi and so on, to Sifrei Musar and to fill oneself so that one has a sense of what the Messiah is. And when you see something in one of the Svarim HaKadoshim that strikes you as different or something, that then you attribute that to your lack of understanding, and it doesn't cause confusion, you just leave it and you go weiter. You kiss the Sefer and you go weiter, and you open it again and learn something else, and it doesn't cause any curveballs in your life. It doesn't cause any changes in life. I didn't get it. But the overall sense that a person has through this limud is one of inspiration. That's the point. But the person walks away feeling inspiration. You have to be careful not to make mistakes in what you're doing. But the hergish that the person has, bechlal, is one of inspiration and excitement. Of course, some of that is sometimes connected to demyonis, that astam demyonis that the person feels, especially if you tell other people that you're learning these things, then oftentimes that means that it's just it's mixed in with a lot of demyonis. Pnimius, as I said, as I was talking about 2 weeks ago, pnimius is meant to be pnimi, right, to be as inward as possible. Once it enters into chitzonius, so then it's already much more dangerous. V'oz yisharu etzlo harishavim haruchniyim v'torah machshavus menasei seseruach. And if he's careful to use his intelligence and to always rely upon the Messiah that we have, emunah tahira, to be careful of something that doesn't, if he doesn't get it, to leave it. So then that person will find that what will remain by him are the spiritual impressions, v'torah machshavus menasei seseruach, thoughts that uplift the spirit, feelings and thoughts that bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're uplifting. They're uplifting, that are exciting, that are inspiring. They lift a person up to the highest realm of Elokus, that for that person, to a very high place, and this feeling of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehu Makor HaOisha, which is the source of all happiness, V'azoyer HaNishmosi, and the light, the Neshamadik light, Liyochid V'Lashivu, for the individual, and for the Tzibur, and for the community. for the people. So Rav Kook is recommending that one be cautious, but to continue on. As long as you feel that this adds to your Avodas Hashem, and you see that when it comes to your davening, to your tefillin, to your Shabbos, to your mitzvahs, that it adds to the Kiyum HaMitzvahs. And someone says to you, oh, you know, someone saw, knows, whatever, that you're learning some of these things, so what? What does this have? You don't understand it. So a person's response is, I understand that it makes me feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I understand that it helps me to be mekayem Torah mitzvahs. It helps me be more involved in my davening, in my learning, and so on and so forth. That's enough. That's enough of a reason to continue learning. It's a very good thing to continue to learn and not to be dissuaded by any of these kind of things that come from the outside. We'll see more about this when we learn some of the ksavim that were not included in the parak. We'll see more. Rav Kook was very, very strong in this inyan. It was very much toned down. His whole mahalach in this inyan was very much toned down by his son, by Rav Tzvi Yehuda. But when one looks carefully at the writings of Rav Kook, it's impossible to come to any other conclusion other than the one that's bursting out from every sif, is that he wanted everybody to learn Pnimius HaTorah. Everybody taught Pnimius HaTorah. What Rav Kook was just describing is what we often feel when we're learning Rav Kook. I was just talking to a friend of mine. It's a chashuva person, a Talmud Chacham. And so we were discussing a certain subject, and I said, you know, that Rav Kook speaks about that in one of his letters. So he said, oh, no. And it's not because of his nagdus chas v'shalom that he respects and he venerates Rav Kook. He says, I don't understand it. So I told him, I don't understand it either. But when you try and you do your best, it gives you a tremendous aliyah. It gives you a tremendous amount of chizik. And besides, there's a tremendous amount that you can, that one can chop here and there. Okay, there's always the things that are missing. There are always things that are missing. And you always walk away from every Torah that you learn from Rav Kook, that knowing that, well, I wish I could have gotten more of it, and there's so much light over here that I just didn't grasp. But you still feel illuminated by it. You still feel better that you learned it. And there are many other svarim that you understand every word that you're learning. But when you close the sefer, you don't feel that way. You don't feel that kind of insiders. No. Siv Zayin. Now here's where Rav Kook addresses what I spoke about a minute ago, about making sure that to do whatever you can to fill yourself up with a lot of nigla, a lot of the revealed Torah before really embarking upon this journey. But again, it's understood that doesn't mean that it's a ma'akev that a person can never learn this from HaKadoshim if he hasn't done that. Chisaron gadol b'loim de kabbalah harigilim. Rav Kook says it's a very big chisaron by most of those who are learning Kabbalah. Masha'enim mishaydetim b'tchilu b'sichlam v'mkorei seha shal Torah l'haskilu b'nyonim ha'eloikiyim. That they don't, Masha'enim mishaydetim b'tchilu, mishaydetim means to sail, means to travel through. That they don't first in their minds try to grasp, to understand, to think about from the makaris, the sources of revealed Torah, to try to understand, to think about in yonim ha'alaykim. In other words, when you're learning parasha, when you're learning parasha, to try to understand what is this pasuk telling me about the Rabbeinu Shlomo. When you're learning a piece of Gemara, when you're learning halacha, when you're learning a pasuk in Navi, wherever a person is learning in Nigla, but to try to understand using his own mind, to try to understand what is it here in this Torah that I'm learning, what is it in this Torah that I'm hearing about the Rabbeinu Shlomo, that I'm hearing about my Avodas Hashem. What Rav Kook was afraid about is that oftentimes he says that there are people, because they want to get right into the thick of things, they'll learn Nigla, they'll learn the revealed Torah, but they'll learn it just to understand Pshat. They'll learn the Pshat in the Torah, and then they jump into Kabbalah. And Rav Kook was worried about that. What he's saying here, I think, is that there's something in between the absolute revealed Pshat and Sisrei Torah and Kabbalah. And what's in between is when you're learning Pshat, to try to go into a place in your mind that's more hidden, that's deeper. And to try to have a connection to Elokus through the things that you're learning in Igla. So when you're learning a piece of Agadah in the Gemara. Rav Kook was very upset. He cried about this all the time, that people were rushing through the Agadah. I was just talking to somebody last night after Marv. It was in a shiva. We were talking outside, and he said that he was talking to his nephews from one of the big, big chashev yeshivas, and he asked them what he's learning, and he told them which masechta he's learning. And he's learning since Elul, and they're up to Daf Tes, since Elul, which is already what the Tekriya, you understand. Since Elul, they're up to Daf Tes. And he said, and they skipped from Daf Gimel to Daf Ches, because there was Agarata. So they're up to Daf Tes from Elul. That means they learned two or three blot, and they skipped the Agarata. Because the Agadah is not for bright, intelligent yeshiva boys. So they skipped. So it turns out that since Elul, that's al-Eilani b'chia, eini, there are two reasons to cry over here. One is, what's going to be with the whole Torah is to learn so little, to cover so little in the Masechta, that's A, and B, is that whole way of looking at the Agadah is something which is extraneous or unnecessary, or we'll get back to it at some point after we die. So even when a person learns Nigla, to learn Nigla, to be but to lahaskil b'nyanim ha'elokim, to be maskil in the yanim ha'elokim that are coming out from everything that we're learning. To be in that parish of Elokus when you're learning Nigla. Not just to wait till you get the Kabbalah, and then you go into Kabbalah, and now it's all Elokus. All of Torah is Elokus. And therefore he says, again, Chisar and Godel will learn their Kabbalah Harigilim by those who are learning Kabbalah. It's a big Chisar. Masha'inim Mashaitim Betchila Besichlam and Karasash Lutel Haska began to like him. Yeah, they learn Nigla, but they learn Nigla. Like Nigla is just Pshat and Halacha. And then there's Kabbalah, that's God. Like there's no God in the Nigla. That's a terrible, Rav Kook says, that's a terrible Chisar. The Nigla is all shining with Elokus as well. And a person should always be using his and her mind to think about Elokus, to think about deeper Inyonim and Avodas Hashem. Ki im heim mal'itim es atzman berimzei limudim aksuvim besvaram. Where does the word mal'itim come from? You know? Does that remind you of something in Chumash? Who said Yeshua? Halitainina. Who said that? Esav says, not such a nice thing. What does it mean, Halitainina? Give it to me. It means to stuff yourself. That's how he sold the Bechor, right? He sold the Bechor in such a way. Halitainina. Rather than Nizid Adoshim. In the Adam Hadamazah. Give me, he stuffed himself. So the word mal'itim es asma, the word mal'itim, it comes from hal'iteini. It means to fill yourself, to stuff yourself. But it means like in a way that's grubbing. Is you shouldn't be taking so much. You should take it easy. So what happens? So Rav Kook says that many of these mekubalim came home, mal'itim es asma b'rimzei l'muzum ha'ksuv mesvarim. They fill themselves, they stuff themselves. On the rimzei limud maksuv misvam, on the deeper ramazim, on dafka, on those things that are more filled with mystery and gematrias and reshetavis and all kinds of things like this, and different ramazim. That they hop onto that when they're learning, they're not satisfied. To chew slowly and carefully the nigla of Torah and to feel the lukus in the nigla of Torah and to connect to that. Instead, the pasuk itself is not interesting. It's only the gematria of the pasuk. You know, you have people like that. That's the part that the Kotzke told that year, that I say every time Rosh Hashanah time, that we're careful not to eat nuts at the time of Rosh Hashanah because egg is because the gematria chait. It's the same gematria as chait, as sin. So we don't eat. It's one of the reasons why we don't eat nuts at the time of Yom Niran. So somebody was asking the Kotzker about a certain kind of a nut. Is it Afghan egg? Is it different gematria, isn't it? So the Kotzker said to him, chait is also the gematria chait. He says, you don't have to worry so much about almonds and peanuts. You do a virus. You do regular virus. He says, chait is also the gematria chait. It's not just that egg is the gematria chait, it's also the gematria chait. In the pshat, in chait is chait. But you see that we're living in such a time where you have people who they're very, very careful. They won't go near a peanut for 2 months. But when it comes to a lashon hara or something else, which is not just a peanut, it's like to have, it could be like a big walnut or something. I don't know, some big macadonia nut. So that they'll fress on. But the gematria, they're worried about the gematria of egois and chait, bothers them. The gematria is nereshetavis, nesefetavis. All of those things are paparos, Latoya. It's all like nice little desserts. But to be connected to the Baruch Shalom through the ikka that a person is learning in Migla. So what happens is, Shalai Dezeh, ain sichla misroimim. The mind is not lifted up to a higher place. Instead, what's happening, instead of while they're learning the Nigla and concentrating, using their minds to fully grasp all that they're learning in Nigla, in the oimik of what the Nigla is, and to try through that Nigla to have a sense of elokus through what they're learning, they're jumping on these things. In the Nigla, they jump on all these Ramazim, the Gematrias and different things that because they have a certain nefesh, the nefesh of these people are inclined to side. They're inclined to the secrets of Torah. So they make everything into a site. They're only interested in the gematrias and the reshetavis, and they're only interested in the... So the seichel is not uplifted to a higher place. Ein seichel misroim ki im eze regesh kehei me'ir bekirbam. There's a certain dim light that is shining in the soul in these people. It's a certain dim light. It's not a strong, powerful light. So of course, that the Baruch Shalom wants us to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to think about everything that we're doing, everything that we're learning, to have that in our minds, and to use our minds to try to come to understand on our own when we're learning something now on our own. What is this teaching me? What is this telling me? How could I incorporate this into my Avodas Hashem? Not to wait to get the Kabbalah, but to stuff yourself with rimzei l'mudim, with gematrias, all kinds of fancy things. Avaloi zayis harmargeya. Ki im achas she'odem mishaiter b'sichle l'das Hashem. Loi zayis harmargeya. This is not the correct mahalach. This is not the way of, I think you're saying, the even way, the moderate way, the normal way. Ki im achas she'odem mishaiter b'sichle. This is the correct way. Like Avraham Avinu, who was thinking from the time that he was a child. I mean, there are different views in Chazal exactly, but from the time that he was a child, Avraham Avinu was thinking and trying to understand what is this, and trying to understand. But the person is trying with his mind to understand Hashem. Ladas is Hashem. And that's the basis of his learning, growing up. And even as an adult when he learns Nigla. Mishoited b'sichl ladas. Not that he has two separate things. There's the simple pshat, just to understand the words in the Gemara, Halacha, whatever, in Tanakh. And then I close that and I learn Kabbalah. Or when he's learning the Chumash, all that he's interested in is the Gematrias. He's learning in these things and those things, but not to use his mind to try to grasp higher things while he's learning. Pnimi Satara is, Rav Kook, I think, is saying is that Pnimi Satara is not only when you're learning Pnimi Satara. It means to have, a Mabat Pnimi. To have a Mabat Pnimi means to have a way of looking at things from that perspective of Pnimius. And you have to develop, you have to become such a person. You have to work on being such people that were Anoshim Pnimium. Not that you're more of an Ish Chitzayni, and that you want to stuff yourself on some Pnimius, and then you jump into Pnimius. An Ish Pnimi looks at everything in life from that perspective of Pnimius, using one's mind. That's what Avraham Avinu was doing. That's such an important part of chinuch, of from the youngest age, to tell the children, to talk to children. What does this mean? What do you think about this? I told you I had a friend of mine that this kid was like 14, 15 years old, and finally decided to speak up at the Shabbos table, and he said, "You mind?" He says, "Abba, Daddy, whatever, you know, I've been hearing you for the last 10 years saying the Heilig, Heilig. Can you tell me what that means, Heilig? I don't know what you're talking about, Heilig. Holy." I mean, he knows what it means in English. Heilig is holy. So I don't know what that means, holiness. He's already 14, 15 years old. So he's heard thousands of times, Heilig, the Heilig of this, the Heilig of that, this is Heilig, this is Heilig. What is Heiligkeit? What does it mean, holiness? From the youngest age, from the time that they're talking, We have to raise children to be pnimiyim. And pnimiyim means to ask questions. Not like you have by the anoshim chitzayim where the ikur is not to ask any questions. By pnimiyim, the inyan is, why do you wash negim of us? I'm not just saying when a kid is 12 years old, when he's getting ready for bar mitzvah, from a little child. Why do you wash negim of us? And obviously you say something that you come down to the child to explain it. But you have to teach a child to ask himself and to ask herself in their little kepis, why am I doing this? That's not skepticism, that's emunah. That's pnimius. Why not I should or I shouldn't? That's not what he means by it. But what's the inyan of doing this? What's the inyan? So that they grow up in such a way that they're never going to become robots. Idiots that are officially Orthodox Jews, but have not Shaykhs to Rabban Shalom. Everything. What is this? What's the tachlis here? Even from the time that they're little, to talk to them about what does it mean that mommy's lighting Shabbos candles? What's the meaning of Shabbos candles? Why does Hashem want us to have candles? Why does Hashem want us to have light? Why do you think Hashem wants us to have light on Shabbos? These are the things that we have to talk about at the table with the children, with the Enikluch, to talk about these in Yonah. Not to say Gematrius and all this stuff. You can say that for dessert a little bit, or you want to say gematria. But that's not the ikka. The ikka is to develop a notion pnimium. In our generation, the number one thing. To develop Jews in such a way where they have a shaychus to pnimius, where they're always thinking, what is this? Why is this? And in many ways in schools, depending upon which teacher, that's discouraged. Not only is it not encouraged, it's discouraged. That discouragement comes always from insecurity. But the way of the Torah is to encourage thinking, not to discourage. The way of the church was to discourage thinking. The way of Yiddishkeit is to encourage thinking, not skeptical thinking, emunah thinking. And never to be afraid that the child's going to become too smart. We never had such a pachad. There was never such a pachad. The ikur is to think in such a way. What's Shabbos? To sit at the Shabbos table, forget about the fancy Devar Torah that you saw online or something. FancyTorah.com. Forget about that. Just ask your kid, why do you think that, what is Shabbos? What do we have for Shabbos? Take one inyan in Shabbos and talk about it. Why does Hashem want on Shabbos? Why? If not, they don't develop an atiyah to looking at things from a perspective of pnimius, and then they feel that everything that they're doing in their lives is just piled on them. They don't have a shaychus to it. And then now everybody's so shocked why they're texting on Shabbos. So many kids are texting on Shabbos. So shaychus to Shabbos. Was ever shaychus to Shabbos? Why not? Why shouldn't he text on Shabbos? So he understands a little bit. That's a derisa, derabban. What does he understand? And he knows that, so then that's going to be a deterrent. But if he has a hergish for Shabbos, what's Shabbos? What's the tachlis of this? Why are we doing this? Not why we should or we shouldn't. I'm not saying that, God forbid. But what's the pnimius? So that from the beginning of their lives, you learn with them pnimius at Torah. Not Kabbalah. Chas v'shalom. That's not the time for that. But pnimius. Pnimius. One of the clearest things I remember from always growing up with my father, Zogazon Zayin, every single thing, you know, he'd why, if I would do something, why did you do that? Not a criticism. But I was doing something, did something that he liked. Why is that? What's the tachlis? Always, what's the tachlis? And I would talk about it, my father would say, that's why. And we'd talk about it. Not inside a sefer, to talk about it. To become anoshim pnimim. And that's whether somebody is sharp or not as sharp. It doesn't make a difference. Because this is a very, very big nisayon in our generation. Because even if you try very, very hard, there's so much chitzonius that even with all the efforts that we make, it's a big war. Every minute's a big war. We shouldn't be discouraged. We should try to always in such a way. So that's what Rav Kook is saying here. There are people that instead of developing their koiches and pnimius, they have these two divisions in life. There's the chitzonius and there's the pnimius. Chitzonius is when they're learning Gemara, Rashi, Taisa, Chumash, whatever. That's chitzonius. And then there's when they go into Kabbalah. The only thing that they'll have in the and when they're learning the Chumash, what they have is to go look up what it says, this gematria, that gematria, something. But not themselves, to use their own seichel. That's what he says. Ki im acha sheha'odem neshoiteit besichloi lada'as es Hashem. You have to constantly be in such a trip in our minds, always. M'shoyte b'sichli l'da'as es Hashem, l'da'as es Hashem. When you go on someplace with a child, you go to the park. You don't just enjoy going in the park. I'm sure you have a good time. You go on the swing, you go on the slide, have a nice time. But you talk to the child. It's an unbelievable opportunity. Out of school, not in class, not in that home mezgeres of official schoolwork. And you talk about things that you see. And ask the child and help the child to develop a way of thinking about things. What is this and why is this? And point out things that are beautiful, that are interesting, and try to bring out from the child a sense of beauty, an appreciation for beauty. Not just to go someplace, it's a wasted trip. But to bring out an appreciation for beauty and for things that are pnimius, to show when you see that there's another you see there's a mother playing with a child, point out to your child, look how beautiful that is. Look how the child is happy. Do you know why the child is happy? And these are all exercises in developing into anoshim pnimiyim. So when the person works on that a lot, and he has a strong foundation, and then from there he enters into the world, he glides over into the world of Pnimiyus HaTaira. That's a natural and healthy transition. He's an Ish Pnimi in everything that he does. He's an Ish Pnimi. And when the Ish Pnimi goes from Nigla to Nista, it's not such a shocking transition. And he's not likely to make prosta mistakes. Because he's such a person. In everything, there's an oil, there's an oil makia from, there's an oil pnimi, in everything. The tzaddikim say, if you look at the word, each and every one of us is a Yisrael, is a Yid, a Yisrael, a Jew. So Yisrael, on the outside, the letters are Lamed Yud, which is Li, me. And the letters on the inside are Resh Aleph Shin Rosh. So the Omakif is always just silly and small, Li, what I like, or what. Just that's the Or Makif. The Or Pnimi is Reish Aleph Shin, which is Reish. And Reish means that everything, every single thing in life has to be with that, from that perspective, not Li, but Reish. Those are the inside letters of the name Yisrael. The inside letters of the name Yisrael. And it's an inside way of looking at things in life. And then the Metzarf Lazeshkida Haguna Bemishle Chacham Mechidoisam and Amar Binyan My Rosam Chol Pratem. Fine. Then you with in a proper way you go into all the deep teachings, the Mishle Chacham Mechidoisam, and all the different Ramazim hints and all kinds of things that we find, beautiful things that we find, and Amar Binyan My Rosam Chol Pratem, and all the details that are found in the secrets and the hints of Torah. Ozum is Allah. That causes a big aliyah in a person. Ozu misala. That's already that's a completely different matter. It's a whole different person than the one who's, you know, Mr. Gematria. It's a whole different person. First, what is the pasuk saying? What is the pasuk saying to me? What do I see in this pasuk? How do I understand this pasuk? And to try on your own to understand. And then you're to move further into what's being taught, deeper things that are being taught. Also, Masala, the person has from that a very big aliyah. That's the healthy and normal way, with chinuch of the children and with their own chinuch of how to learn. And when you bring yourself up, you bring up everybody else with you. That's how it is with an Ish Pnimi. He brings himself up, and he brings up everybody in his sviva. Everybody is brought up together with him. Not by way of lecturing and telling them off, because of his whole metzias. Because an Ish Pnimi, infects others with pnimiyus. And every now and then, growing up, and you had it, and I had a teacher that was more of a pnimiyistic person, that made a very big difference. And you felt yourself starting to look at things a little bit differently than the way it was. Ozu mesala v'ha'ilam kula mesala imay. Zoicha la'atzmoi, it's a schus that you zoicha for yourself by this, and the zayich leKnesses Yisrael. And not only that, but it's also a zchia for Knesses Yisrael. Remember, each and every one of us is a piece of Knesses Yisrael. And when you and I have any aliyah, so it lifts up the entirety of Knesses Yisrael. So it's not just oneself. So on a conscious level, you affect people around you, and you help to bring them to look at things in a certain way and to live a certain way, but in a way that we can see with our eyes, and that's not something that's part of our conscious reality, that when each and every one of us, or any one of us, has this kind of an aliyah, then it's zoich l'Knesses Yisrael, then it affects all of Knesses Yisrael, and especially chol ha'tluyim bo, and all those and all those who are dependent upon Knesset Yisrael, and especially those who are close to you, friends and family and so on. Sometimes with a member of one's own family, that a person wants very, very much to be makarev, to bring up in Avodas Hashem, because that's where it's going to hurt most, when there's someone that you love that's not in the same place where you are in Pnimis, and you want so badly for that person to be with you in that place. So it's natural to try to, in a nice way, in a holy way, is to beat the other person over the head with your Pnimis. And then you're going to force that person to become a Pnimi like yourself. That's one of the most chitzonistic things a person can do. So for being such an ish pnimi, using a stick and beating somebody over the head with pnimi is a very chitzonistic thing to do. The pnimiistic way of spreading pnimi is by becoming more of an ish pnimi. And with tefillah. In a way that the other person doesn't even know how much of an avodah you're doing for him or for her. Only the Baruch Shalom knows how much you love that person and how deeply, deeply you want that person to have the oinig of that pnimis. Not by, hey, I didn't hear anything pnimistic from you today. Stuff. Things like that. Where I really wish you would be able to be the kind of person that I am. Those lines. And even if a person is not coarse enough to say such lashinus, but the other one usually picks up on them very, very quickly. Because they're not as dumb as you think. And they pick up on these things. And they don't feel good about them. And it doesn't help them with their pnimis. And it doesn't help the relationship between people who love each other. But the ikk is to go about it in the pnimistic way. And the pnimistic way is no one in the world sees, not even the other person, how much tefillah and oneself being meshatev another person in all of your limudim, and to say the name of that person, that this person, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, whose name is whatever, Rachel Bas Sarah, is I'm bringing you together with me, even though you're right now doing something else, but I'm bringing you together with me in this Indian that I'm learning. And your neshama is here with me in this Indian right now that we're learning. And you're learning together with me this Indian. But this is an unbelievable hashpa that it has on another person. Much, much more than giving a klapa. Giving a lecture and thing. The inyan of having to give lectures and shmoozing and all of that is more effective with people who are outside of your life. People who are not in the inner circle of your life. How else are you supposed to? But even there, you're bringing about an aliyah for all of Knesset Yisrael. When we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, of course. But the lays brayer, you have to give a shmuz, you have to talk to, you have to give a shi or whatever. But the closer a person is to you, the fewer words are necessary. And the ikr is the person himself. And sometimes a parent is misyash, God forbid, with a child. And you don't know how to reach the child, and you feel like that this kid is outside of my circle. That can never be true. There's no such thing, Chas V'Shalom. The Baruch Shalom, when he said about us, that you're my children, He said it for a specific reason. There's one kesher in the world that's something which exists no matter what. And that kesher is a kesher pnimi. And even though you feel that that child is just like, I'm not connecting to this kid at all. The kid is outside of my tchum. It's not for my circle. That's a terrible, terrible mistake. And the child's neshama feels that, being pushed away. It's not true. If the Rebbeinu Shalom gave you that child, that's your child. It means that that child is lifnai v'lifnim. But it means there are differences in personality and different things. B'chlal, the hard thing, children growing up but sometimes you can't get that across in words, especially with teenagers. It's something that can't be conveyed with words, and every word that you say, the kid feels, you get the feeling like this pushing the kid further away. Every word that you add is like, oh, so what was the tachlis? Sometimes the tachlis is not to talk so much, you know, to ignore, but not to be careful with the words. And then what's the ikavayit? It's the avayit pnimi. In your tefillahs, in davening, what the best, what has a person's tefillahs for a child? And in the life of an ish panimi, that has more of an impact than any words that you could say or any other things to be makar of a child is within yourself. And then you find that you're much less frustrated with the child. You're much less frustrated with the child. Kind of, you're giving yourself over completely in your davening, and when you're learning to bring the child together with you. You know the child doesn't want to learn with you. That you bring the child and the shama together with you when you learn. You know what that is, to have such a chavusa. And when you look at your child, your eyes are much softer. You're not angry. You don't see the child as pushing you, running away and leaving you. You know that the child's inside with you every second. The child is immature and living in such a way and trying to make himself or herself distant. But we're adults. Adults can't allow that to happen. That's not true. That child is your child. It means that child is etzem atzamai. It's etzem atzamai. It's lifnai v'lifnim. And we can't ever let our children go outside. Even if they're running around outside. And you feel that I have no control. I have no way to bring my child in. And my kid's running around. I have no way to evade where my kid is. The greatest danger of the child is not where he or she is on the internet, on their Facebook. The greatest danger for the child is if you let go of the child. If you don't hold on to that kid, God forbid, if you let the child go. But the child's running around in these places, it's a big sakana. But as long as there's a rope and you're holding that child, lifnai v'lifnim, then the child's not going to go. The children that disappear, God forbid, and drift off and don't come back are the ones where the parents let go, not because of the internet. Unfortunately, that's a disgusting reality that we have in the world now. And I don't know what there is to do about that. But it's here. It's a disgusting, disgusting poison. A dangerous, disgusting poison. But as long as the child feels a rope, and feels that I'm... Again, when I say feel, the child doesn't recognize that. That's part of the immaturity. The child doesn't feel that. I'm not talking about what the kid right now knows. But when the father and the mother have to live every minute in that place, that the child is always lifnai v'lifnim, and all the tefillahs, when you're learning to be mishtatef that kid, in that child in your learning. And when you go someplace, and you see something that's beautiful, you go to a tzaddik, so you feel bad. How come my kid doesn't want to be by the tzaddik? My kid doesn't want to come to the tzaddik. So what kind of a kid do I have? And I don't feel a kesher to my kid because my kid doesn't have a shaykh to the tzaddik. It's not how you do it. When you go to the tzaddik, you bring your child with you. Either the kid's not there. He's somewhere else. So that's how an ish panimi lives with by bodies. Where the body is. We already learned many, many times that where a person's machshavas are, that's where the person is. And if you go to the tzaddik and you think of your child's name by the tzaddik, not just to give a kittel, that's nice. But in your mind, to think that my child, and by the name of that child, is here with me by the tzaddik, and to think about this beautiful thing that I'm seeing by the tzaddik, and I want my child to have a shpar from this, So the child's not there with you physically, so that's a nafkimina. If an ish panimi, it's not a nafkimina. By chitzonim, it's a big nafkimina, because you can't be in two places at the same time. In panimis, you can be two places at the same time. In chitzonim, you can't be in two places at the same time. In panimis, you can be in the same time, two places. Your child could be over there, and it's always here. And never, ever, ever to let go of the children, ever. Because now, in this time now, this is such a big avoida in panimis to hold on to the children. And then, not to be misyayish. They'll come back. Wherever they are, they'll come back. As long as you don't let go of them, they'll come back. But if Chalila, you let go, then it's like an outer space. It's outer space. But always, always, to hold on to them. And even if they're not ready to hear certain things, and you can't say them. Because if you say them, then they're just going to roll their eyes and get upset with you. So you have to be careful. What are you going to say something? If there's no tachlis, then don't say it. But in your heart, don't let go. That's in panemius, that's very, very real. That's very real. So when a person himself is nis'ala, and one has aliyas, and one's avoida, and one's panemius, and one's tefillas, and one's avoida, on a certain level, he's zoich la'atma, zoich la'knesis Yisrael. L'chola kliyim bo, shu'a kol mamish. Everything around you, and everything with you, has an aliyah. But more than anything, those who are connected to you in the Shem have a big aliyah through your own avoidant penimis.